Welcome to Whitley on Wine with your host, nationally syndicated wine columnist Robert Whitley.
Peel me a grape, crush me some ice, skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my pillow. Talk to me nice, talk to me nice, you've got to wine me and dine me. Don't try to fool me, be Julie. Either amuse me or lose me. I'm getting hungry. Peel me a grape.
Welcome and thank you for joining me this week. We're going to talk a little bit about Pinot Noir, the Russian River Valley. But before we do, a little story. I was in Sonoma County a few weeks ago, and I did a tasting of 30 wines from the 2006 vintage of Russian River Valley Pinots. And one of the wines that really impressed me was a wine called Bonovia. So I'm scratching my head. I've never heard of Bonovia, you know. And then, you know, the day goes on, and I learn a little bit more about the winery. It's relatively new. And then I learned that the winemaker is Mike Sullivan, who used to be at Hartford Court. Well, now all the lights and go on, and, you know, the bells and whistles. Oh, okay. Yeah. And I kind of know why this wine's really good then. And then I remembered several years ago when Hartford Court still entered wine competitions. They don't do that anymore. They entered a bunch of wines in the Monterey Wine Competition, and this was sort of a stunning performance. They had four wines in the sweepstakes round of voting for best of show red wine. They had two Pinots, and they had two Zinfandels. And I'm going to guess this was about 6 or 7 years ago. And I'm also going to guess that Mike Sullivan, you made those wines.
I did.
Yes.
We were very excited with the results of that competition.
Yeah. So it's a small world. And I want to thank you. I want to welcome you to the show and thank you for joining me today. But I was scratching my head at the tasting up in Sonoma and Bonovia, never heard of this winery. And then sat next to you at lunch and got the whole story, and it all kind of came together for me.
Yeah. Well, we're a small artisan producer up here in the Russian River Valley, and we're really excited. We're just releasing our first wines from the 2006 vintage, which is our premier release. So we're just getting the wines out in the marketplace and getting some great feedback.
So that's one of the reasons I haven't heard of it, and I guess most other people haven't either. Tell me about the name. Where does the name come from?
It's it is actually a contraction of my partner's father's name and father and his wife's father's name, Benedict and Novian. So they created Bonovia as a to honor those two men.
Now, how did you end up there?
You know, I'd been a winemaker up here for almost 20 years now, and my partner.
And you admit, and you admit that?
I do admit that. Yeah, I know. I
where does the time go?
I, having been born and raised up here in Sonoma County, it seemed like a natural fit. Love the area and love making wine. But this was an opportunity to create something from scratch, and we're really proud of this initial release.
Now, how did you get involved with the Bonovia folks?
Yeah, this was a vision of Joe Anderson, who is my partner in the winery, and he had loved wine country, and had purchased a ranch up here, the Cone Vineyard, and had been selling grapes for a number of years, most recently to Costa Brown. It was one of their first single vineyard Pinot Noir and one of their most acclaimed. And then we took that fruit back for ourselves in 06.
Yeah. Now, how many acres do you have? And where are you physically producing or making the wine?
Sure. Our winery is located right in the heart of Russian River Valley in the middle reach area of Russian River. And we farm, we're currently farming 15 acres on that site and planting an additional 18 acres on an adjacent property. And then we are currently planting a property over in Freestone, also in the Russian River Valley.
Right, yeah.
And our estate property, the Cone Vineyard, just off of West Side Road at the northern end of Russian River.
Now, you're not exclusively Pinot, are you?
We're not. No, we produce a little bit of Chardonnay and a little bit of Zinfandel from our estate property.
Yeah, but, you know, I remember you really had a nice touch with Zinfandel at Hartford Court. Those were some spectacular wines. Of course, you really had great vineyards too.
Absolutely, yeah. That wine that won the Monterey wine competition was the Finucane Vineyard Zinfandel, and that was a beautiful bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, are you committed, do you think, exclusively to Russian River Valley? And if so, what is your philosophy about that? And what is it about the Russian River Pinot that really attracts you?
Yeah, one of the things, I think it was well demonstrated in the tasting we did a few weeks back, was consistency and quality and character defined by this geographic area, the Russian River Valley. And I think, you know, the coast really offers a lot of exciting terroir, you know, some unique challenges
mm-hmm.
for some of those cold coastal sites. But the Russian River itself, this kind of prime real estate, really offers that consistency year in and year out, expressive wines, really dramatic aromatics, you know, pretty red fruits and black fruits, and spice and that bright acidity that many consumers have come to identify with Russian River.
Well, you know, part of the discussion that we had after the tasting, you know, at lunch and then just sort of standing around and chatting was how diverse Russian River has become, actually, because of the growth and more people planting vineyards and more people coming in and recognizing it for its not only its potential, but its long track record of success with Pinot Noir. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Sure, yeah. With the appellation is pretty young. It was established in 1983, and within the last 3 years, there was a small expansion of the appellation to the southwest, incorporating, I believe, about 15 or 20,000 acres. But, you know, as this area has become, we began up near Healdsburg in the middle reach of the Russian River with wines like the Rocchioli Vineyard and William Sellium bottling in
mm-hmm.
that area. It's now expanded to the middle reach of the Russian River, this area that we're in, Olivet Road Vineyards locally, and some other small growers, and also west to Green Valley.
Now, what are the differences? I would suggest, just knowing the geography a little bit, that climate's going to be one of them, because the closer you get to Healdsburg, it's going to be a little warmer than it is closer to Iron Horse and the Green Valley section of the Russian River Valley. But are there also some differences that relate to the soils and that sort of thing?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. The proximity to the ocean really drives the climate. But as you get closer to the ocean, you also get to younger soils, more marine sedimentary soils with more sand, more well-drained. So there's really a lot of, from that Healdsburg area, a lot of that is erosive volcanic soils. And then as you go down south and west, out into that Green Valley area, those soils are much younger, they're more sandy, and they really produce wines that are quite different in character, although they're all from Russian River Valley.
Can you describe the differences to us?
Sure, absolutely. The middle reach area, that Rocchioli, that really has that pretty wild berry, red berries and blackberries. As you
mm-hmm.
get towards Green Valley, there's a brighter, spicier quality, and the wines have tendency to be more black fruited in character, more blackberry, more black plum.
Mm-hmm.
And a little higher acidity, so it's quite an interesting contrast.
So a little lighter, not necessarily as heavy on the palate. I mean, Rocchioli is a pretty, I think of as a fairly, it's elegant, but it has quite a bit of power. It has oomph.
Has a lot of richness, a little lower acidity. So the wines have a little more weight and density. The Green Valley area definitely has brighter acidity, and the wines have a lighter impression on the palate.
Now, how would you describe the wine from your Cone Vineyard?
From Cone Vineyard? Yeah, that's a rocky hillside vineyard just off of Middle Reach near Rocchioli.
Mm-hmm.
And that is has a lot of iron oxide as
mm-hmm.
well as kind of sedimentary quality. So it has that Middle Reach character, but with a little more a finer quality because of the well-drained hillside.
Mike, hold those thoughts. We're going to have to take a break here. But Whitley on Wine will continue with Mike Sullivan, winemaker of Bonovia Winery, following these messages.
Skin me a peach, save the fuzz for my peel me a grape.
And now, back to Whitley on Wine.
Slow.
with your host, nationally syndicated wine columnist, Robert Whitley.
I'm back, and I'm chatting with winemaker Mike Sullivan of Bonovia Winery in the Russian River Valley. It's a new winery, and I just had a wonderful experience tasting one of the vintages, the 2006, on a trip to Sonoma County recently. And Mike, you know, you were starting to describe your style. And before I let you finish that, I would like to interject that, you know, I believe it was the very first wine in the tasting. Am I remembering that right? Or do you?
You are. Absolutely.
Yeah. The very first wine in the tasting. And I'm remember thinking, boy, if they're all this good, this is going to be a fun day. But the other thing that struck me is, you know, a lot of people focus on color, you know, and they think the darker the color, the better the wine's going to be. And so there are, you know, I like to think of it as three different shades of color. There's something that's really light and, you know, it strikes you when it goes into the glass that that's really light, you know, like a Beaujolais color. And then there is red and then there's black. And, you know, I think there's a misconception sometimes that wine has to be black to really have a lot of flavor. And your wine was in that range, that red range. And it wasn't darkly colored. It wasn't lightly colored. It was kind of, you know, the color was set pretty well, I thought. Maybe you wanted it a little darker. I'm not really sure. But what flavor it had. I mean, I thought I was drinking a Latoche or a red Burgundy of some kind. Just this, you know, this wine that's sitting in a glass in front of me. I've never heard of it before. And I smelled it. It smelled great. And I put it in my mouth. And the length of flavor in the mouth was just extraordinary. And I'm wondering, is that the vineyard or is there something you do philosophically with Pinot Noir that achieves a certain level of length and the color you're going for? Or are you just really kind of tied to the idea of terroir and you let the wine be what it's going to be?
You know, with that specific wine, it was very vineyard-driven. The two sites that we were sourcing from, one was from this Middle Reach area and the other from Green Valley, and they were quite complementary to one another in the style and character that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Red fruits, spice, little interjection of black.
Yeah, the red fruits, that was in my, those were in my notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that 06 vintage, very cool here on the North Coast and in the Russian River Valley specifically. Mm-hmm. Long hang time, generally lower natural alcohols. We achieved good phenologic ripeness, good flavor ripeness at lower sugars, which is great for us and the consumer.
Mm-hmm.
But that wine really had that incredible length and structure, and that was site-driven, very low yields, essentially dry farmed.
Yeah, now when you say low yields, exactly what do you mean?
Well, you know,
under a ton and a half, under,
yeah,
2 tons?
From site to site. Some sites we work with are planted at very high densities. Like here, mm-hmm, at the winery, we have a vineyard that's planted at 4 feet by 4 feet, almost,
yeah,
classic,
mm-hmm,
Burgundian planting densities at, say, 2,600 vines per acre.
Mm-hmm.
We have other sites that were planted years ago, back in the 70s, that are more like 500 vines per acre. You could drive a truck through them. So
sure.
Certainly the yield is going to greatly depend on the vine.
Yeah, right.
Vine density.
Yeah, whether you have 500 vines or whether you have 3,000 vines per acre.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for the high density plantings, the 2-meter by 2-meter plantings, we might see 2 tons per acre, 2.5 tons per acre.
Mm-hmm.
And from those lower density sites, 8 by 5. We might expect 1.5 tons per acre, or maybe 2 tons an acre in a good year. So for that specific wine, that Russian River Valley Pinot Noir, it was in the 2-ton-per-acre range.
Now, we know that the price of grapes, of Pinot Noir grapes, especially from, you know, premium areas like Sonoma Coast and Russian River and Carneros, they've gone up. And, you know, even some of the great vineyards down in Monterey County, the price has gone up. Do you see yourself going beyond the vineyards that you have control of and buying more fruit and growing the winery?
Well, we're looking to grow in basically through acquisitions. We purchased 2 additional properties last year that we're planting a combined 30 acres on. So our growth will be fueled through internal sources. But we work with some small growers.
Yeah. Now, because you've been there 20 years, you must have a pretty good perspective on the lay of the land and where the good sites are.
You know, I learned each and every year. So, you know, every year is an awakening, rediscovery. So I have a general feel for what sites will work with other sites. And,
mm-hmm,
you know, a lot of it comes down to farming, you know, working with either attention to detail for your own estate vineyards or with growers that are really care about farming for quality.
Yeah.
That's really the starting point.
Now, how much of your production will be single vineyards, individual sites, and how much of it will be a combination of, say, two or three different sites?
Sure. We'll produce we're now producing about 2,000 cases of wine, and about half of that.
Boy, that's not much. Where are you selling it? Are you selling it all out the? Do you have a tasting room?
A lot of it's sold direct. Correct.
Yeah, I betcha.
Yeah, and then the other half will be single vineyard wines. So for me, we produce two single vineyard Pinot Noirs at this point. It's far too often in California that producers get on this single vineyard treadmill where they feel that they're compelled to produce 12 or 15 or 20 single vineyard wines.
Yeah.
And for us, it really is about, has to be a special site that demonstrates uniqueness vintage after vintage.
Okay, so for your two single vineyards, tell me what they are, tell me what the price point is, and where can people find these wines?
Sure. One is from the Savoy Vineyard up in Anderson Valley, which is one of the preeminent sites up in Anderson Valley. And the other is from our Cohn Vineyard off of Westside Road.
Mm-hmm.
And the Savoy Vineyard, it'd be selling for about $50 a bottle, and the Cohn Vineyard, because it has an enormous following, it'll be selling for about $60 a bottle.
Okay.
The wines are available from through our mailing list at BonobiaWinery.com.
Okay. So people can, especially if they live here in California, where they can just have it shipped to them, they can go to your website and buy these wines until they're sold out, right?
Exactly. That's the As a new winery, we're certainly developing our markets, and it's an opportunity for the customers.
So how, in terms of sales, how's the 06 vintage looking?
06 is good. 06 is good. We've released about half of our wines in the portfolio, and they're being received very well.
And how much of the single vineyards do you have? I mean, in terms of cases you produced?
Not a lot. You know, I think we produce 300 cases of wine and 200.
So I better go online when I get home today. Now, do you sell in six-bottle packages, or is it all by the case?
Well, they're sold...
Or individually.
By the bottle.
Yeah, okay.
Through the mailing list.
Yeah.
But, you know, the little bit of wine that we sell, three-tier, is sold by the case.
Yeah. So besides the single vineyards, tell me about your blends.
Sure. We produce a Sonoma Coast wine, which is a blend principally from Russian River Valley, from our estate properties, and then from some small growers. One that's right out near the ocean, down near the Estero Gap. And
you dealt with some, when you were at Hartford Court, you had some vineyards over there that were really overlooking the water.
Yeah, we had a couple properties. One is the Seascape Vineyard, 3 miles from the Pacific Ocean, about 900 feet elevation. And some properties, a property down in that same area, Estero Gap. And then one up near Annapolis at the far northern end of Sonoma Coast.
And I should tell people that one of the attractions of the area is the coolness, but sometimes it's almost too cold, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. Vintages like 06 and 05 were a challenge out there, both at set. Flowering was disrupted because of the cold weather, and then in 06 because of the very long, cool season. It was hard to get things right.
Now, one of the challenges, I think, with Pinot Noir from a very, very cool climate is making it, in the Burgundian style, where you use the stems and the seeds, because you have a tendency to get a little bit of bitterness. But I didn't pick up any of that on the wine that I tasted at the tasting. So I'm wondering, do you use stems at all?
I use stems judiciously, and in the wine that you tried, no stems, because those sites weren't really conducive to it. But with other sites where I get good lignification, I'll certainly introduce maybe 10 or 15, as much as 25%.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, and what I'm talking about, for those who don't know, is the kind of sometimes you'll taste a Pinot Noir, it's young, and it just has a gorgeous nose, and it's silky on the palate, but on the back end you get a little bitterness from kind of green, unripe tannins that come from the stems. And unfortunately, I don't think that ever completely leaves the wine. I think it always kind of is there in the background.
A lot of people say that will age out over time, but, you know, I think if it's there day one, it'll be there 5 years later.
So you're really careful about whether or not you use that technique.
Absolutely, and I use it only in sites that I know it works well with. Generally, they're slightly warmer sites.
Now, I know I brought you on to talk about Pinot, but, I loved your Zinfandels at Hartford Court, so tell me about your Zinfandel at Bonovia.
Yeah, it also comes from the Cohn Vineyard, and the vines were planted back in the mid-70s, so rocky hillside soil, very low yielding, and really stressing elegance. I think that Russian River and some of the western parts of Sonoma County can produce Zinfandels that are more have a little more refined character, can be more elegant, and that's what we stress.
Don't have that that overtly jammy character.
Yeah, and that little rusticity that you get sometimes with Zinfandel that's charming, but sometimes takes away, is great with on itself by itself, either after dinner or before dinner, but sometimes doesn't match well with food. And stressing, looking for areas that are a little cooler, higher acidity, finer fruit qualities, can match very well with food.
Well, I would agree with you. You know, I know that a lot of the Zap fans that gravitate toward the higher alcohol Zins that come from the warmer areas of California where Zinfandel is grown. And I prefer the ones from the cooler climates because they're more claret-like, they're more refined, and the I'm not a big fan of the jammy character. I mean, it's good a little bit, you know, but when it gets to the point where it's a little too sweet, a little too high in alcohol, I want to go in the other direction.
I would agree with you, absolutely.
So, when you say you will be looking to grow, where do you see Bonovia being, say, 5 years from now?
You know, 5 years from now, we might be producing 3,000 or 4,000.
You might have a new wine. 3,000 or 4,000. Can you make a living on 4,000 cases of wine?
Yeah, if you have loyal customers that go out of their way to buy the wines direct from the winery, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I think that's really the key. Opening up the rest of the country to direct sales will be a good thing for the industry.
Terrific. And once again, Mike, we're almost out of time here. Give me that website.
Absolutely, Robert. It's BenoviaWinery.com.
BenoviA.
Correct.
Because nobody would know how to spell it based on our pronunciation.
Exactly.
It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you for joining me. And that's all we have time for this week. This is Robert Whitley for Whitley on Wine saying until next week, ciao. Don't try to fool me.